There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Robbie Greenfield, nice to see you. How
nice
are you?
Nice to see you too.
Do you know, you've got two people on the show tonight on Sports Tonight, and I want to jump in with this. Ahead of all the sports news, fairly quiet sports day, Sports news day.
Slow
today.
News day today.
It is, yeah. Relatively, but I don't think that matters for you because you've got, first of all, Dwight York coming in. So no introduction needed.
No, he's a legend of Manchester United and Aston Villa, mind you, and he also played for Blackburn Rovers throughout the course of a very, very distinguished career, I suppose the highlight of which was the treble-winning season of 98-99, that famous night in Barcelona. Chris will regale, no doubt, Dwight a little later on the show. It will not just be a Manchester United love-in, though. I am there to ensure that it is not just some cosy chit-chat, as Chris likes to say, walking down memory lane with Dwight York and all his Manchester United escapades. I will ensure that there is a degree of balance to the conversation. But he's out here because he's been signed as an ambassador for the new ESM Football Academy. We're going to ask him about his great friendship with Brian Lara, his love of golf. We're also going to ask all the classic questions about run-ins with Fergie and all the best players he ever faced in his career, the most arrogant players, the best goals he scored. We'll play a few clips for him as well, and hopefully we'll have a lot of fun with him between the course of 7 and 8 o'clock.
All right, so he's in with you for an hour. And then you've also got, and I was looking, when you said Raja Muharic is coming in, I'm racking my brain thinking, I know that name. And then you said Everest, and it reminded me of this, and this is what she said. First Saudi woman, first Arab woman to climb Everest, and loads of other mountains. She lives in Dubai, I think, now, doesn't she?
She does, yeah.
I really don't care about being the first, so long as it inspires someone else to be second.
Yeah, so hopefully it's going to be a very inspirational hour and a half, and Chris and I are going to hopefully pay some heed to the inspiration that pours forth, because Chris could do with, he needs to learn how to change gears on a bike and take some swimming lessons, because we're planning on entering the Abu Dhabi Triathlon at the start of next year, and I'm hoping if I can't inspire him, then maybe Raha can. But on that note, it's going to be great to chat to her. She's just come back not so long ago from completing the seven summits, which are the seven highest peaks, each of the seven highest peaks on the seven continents. The last one she had to do was Denali over in Alaska, and it's a famous difficult climb because it's so far north and it's so cold. I think it's the coldest of the seven peaks that those people who are crazy enough to attempt all seven have to face, and she did it on the second attempt. So we'll get to hear her story and how she's kind of breaking down barriers, because I think she's become something of a poster girl for women and for young girls in Saudi Arabia and in other parts of the Arab world who perhaps are restricted or held back by societal pressures that discourage them from doing this kind of activity, and from not just mountaineering and climbing something like Mount Everest, because that is obviously not for everyone, but just in terms of taking up sport and being actively involved in that. So going to be great to have her in. She'll be in between 8 and 8.30. So we've got Dwight York for the first hour, then Raha, and then Chris and I babbling nonsense between 8:30 and 9:00.
You do a bit more than that.
A little bit.
There's a smattering
of good sense talked at some point, but
a friend of mine thinks you're eloquent. I've tried to put him straight, but he won't have it.
He hasn't met me, obviously.
No, clearly not. But she is amazing. She's climbed Everest, she's climbed Kilimanjaro,
yep.
Mount Vincent.
Nicaragua, I think.
Almost, you put a mountain on a piece of paper, if you can remember them, she will have climbed it. She's unbelievable.
Could you ask her to leave us a message, please, Robbie? Just record a good luck message for our world record attempt. So good luck, Natalie and Tim, at your world record attempt.
What is this
really
world record attempt?
Well, we're not sure yet.
But we're going to try and do something to break one of the world records. But just a bit of inspiration would really help, I think.
Okay.
It's unlikely to be mountaineering or anything particularly strenuous.
I would be shocked if it was.
Yeah.
Tim said indoor. No physical activity, so it's got to be something else, maybe.
And it's got to be something obscure enough to be achievable.
Yeah. We're aiming high, but kind of low.
Like egg and spoon over 100 metres, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're aiming high but kind of low. That's the tagline for
this
show.
Yeah.
As you know. Yeah. So, just can I pick you up on something you said about your compatriot or compadre, whatever the word is, Chris McCarty.
Yeah.
Can't change gears on a bike?
Oh, this was a famous story basically that came out of our attempt to do, I mean, we thought we would you know, the way we were going on about it, it was like all three of us, me, myself, myself, Chris and Danny. It was like we were all doing an Iron Man, the way we were talking about it down in Abu Dhabi earlier on this year. Actually, we were just doing one leg each of a mini triathlon sprint, which is the shortest possible version of the triathlon. I did the 700 meter swim. Chris did the 20K bike ride, I think it was, and Danny did the 5K run. Chris borrowed a bike, and it was a real high-tech bike. It was probably worth quite a few thousand dirhams. So anyway, he gets on the Yas Marina circuit and he pedals away furiously and is in one of those really low gears where it's designed for sort of on the flat to go all out. And he's you can imagine the scene. I mean, we've got a 6'5" man, beard sprouting outside of his bicycle helmet, and getting overtaken by all manner of people on the bike. And then as soon as he comes up to a hill, he's realizing, oh dear, I can't even change gear. No one showed me who. So he's pedaling.
Where's he from, this McCurdy you're talking about?
Yeah. So he's pedaling up these hills. They're not huge hills, don't get me wrong. This isn't the Tour de France he was doing, but there were some slopes, some gradients at the Yas Marina circuit, and Chris was forced to do the entire thing in the same gear because he couldn't figure out how to change. So that is a low bar that we've set for next year.
It's just the beard outside the helmet that gets me. That's making me laugh. Yeah. There isn't a great deal of sports.
It's a scary apparition bearing down on you.
It's like Grizzly Adams.
Yes, exactly.
An unkempt Grizzly Adams. Yeah. We've got the Indoor Cricket World Cup. I wanted to ask you about that because England have been beaten by the Emirates. Is that right?
Yeah, they have. 80-79. And what I should say about this is that the Indoor Cricket World Cup, which is taking place at InSports, first time that it's been held in the UAE, it's designed, I think, to perhaps catch the attention of the ICC, which is based down the road at Dubai Sports City. And by all accounts, it's doing a pretty good job because the crowds are incredibly impressive down at InSports. There's a lot of good action going on. I think people are really enjoying the cricket. It is a bizarre concept. It is indoor cricket, slightly different to the outdoor form of the game. Australia are the big favourites in the men's and the women's divisions. I don't think they've ever lost an indoor cricket World Cup, have the Australians, but England's struggling. The UAE have, as you mentioned, beaten England, and recent results, the UAE have also beaten Singapore by 128 runs to 40. Australia beat Sri Lanka a few hours ago as well, 78 runs to 38. And New Zealand in the men's division beat Malaysia heavily, it would seem, 148 runs to 9. Ooh. So there's obviously some different scoring methods that they employ in the Indoor World Cup, but it seems to be progressing very well and another good addition to the sporting calendar out here in the UAE.
Just while we're on there, if anyone's looking out for the England West Indies, rain has delayed play. They're doing another pitch inspection in about 10 minutes' time. So that's why we don't have a live update on that. One interesting story though, Robbie. Rio Ferdinand, given up on football, decided now he's going to be a boxer.
Yes, we've seen the big farce, McGregor-Mayweather. We've seen the big farce part two, which was Adelaide Bird's scorecard for the Gennady-Golovkin-Canelo Alvarez fight. And now Rio Ferdinand has swapped the football pitch at the age of 38 for the boxing ring. He's being backed by, I'm not even sure I can even, it's a company in the UK that we probably can't mention.
So he's got a sponsor.
But he's got a sponsor, and he's serious about it. He's genuinely trying to have a crack at becoming a pro boxer. I got to say, the photos of him on the story that I read, he's bulked up impressively because Rio was quite a, I mean, he was rangy. That is exactly the word I was looking for. Yeah. He was rangy. He was tall. He was fit, but he wasn't big, you know.
No, he wasn't muscular.
But he's beefed up impressively. So, yeah, I certainly wouldn't climb into a ring with him. But then again, I wouldn't climb into a ring with many people who had the intention of punching me in the face.
You just see the training for the fun of it.
So is there any form here? Has he ever boxed before?
I think he might have done some celebrity stuff and some, I think he might have done one or two sort of reality TV shows or what have you. But the quote he says is, "I'm doing this because it's a challenge. I've won titles and now I'm aiming for a belt."
Just buy one, Rio.
Yeah, I mean, and this is boxing. Who's to say he can't do it? Mm. Anything goes in the world of boxing. So as we saw on the weekend with that quite scandalous judging decision against Alvarez and Golovkin.
Robbie, just, it's interesting you mentioned triathlons are on the show tonight because the lost word today is about triathlons.
Ooh.
So have a go, Robbie.
Okay.
All right, here you go.
The lost word. risk of during a triathlon is far higher than previously thought.
Just, did you get that, or do you want me to translate?
I want to play it again.
Play it again.
That was like Monty Python.
The last word.
Risk of during a triathlon is far higher than previously thought.
I'm going to link my answer. No?
You can do whatever you like.
Can I?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with idiocy.
Oh, I like it. Risk of idiocy during a triathlon is far higher than previously thought.
And that is a barb aimed directly, squarely at my colleague Chris McCarty.
Okay. He'll be so pleased.
If you have any other suggestions, if you want to text in for your last word, it's 4001 or via the free Messenger app. Just before, Michelle has an answer, I think, Tim.
Okay. Here you go.
I've got a few. Risk of tripping, because you only have to put shoes on halfway through or something.
Yeah, and then your feet are wet and stuff, aren't they? Yeah.
And then all drowning. Because there's just, you get slapped in the face by someone else. So.
You do, yeah. You follow a pack of people trying to swim really fast, not pacing themselves, of course. Okay, so tripping, drowning, idiocy, and more. 4001 via the free app. Robbie, thank you.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.